appreciate your attendance tonight. A lot going on, a lot we need to pray for. We got people in our church we need to pray for, missionaries we need to pray for. We got a lot going on. 1 Corinthians 12, if you will. We're going to continue our study. We are slowly drifting down to verse 12 where we want to be. But before we get there, we want to understand, I think the first 11 verses gives us a great understanding of the workings of God. When I say the workings of God, I mean the workings of the Trinity. The Trinity works together. And we see that here in this first 11 verses, how the Trinity works together. Notice in verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaketh but by the Holy Spirit, calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, how? But by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but the same God, which worketh all and in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given given by the Spirit the words of wisdom, to another words of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith came by the Spirit, and another, gifts of healing by the Spirit, and to another, the workings of miracles, to another, prophecies, to another, discerning spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues." Listen, "but to all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will." We have looked at a lot down to where we're at now. And where we're at now is in verse 6, where the Lord said, "There are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh in all." The word operations is defined as those workings. In other words, what the Lord's talking about by operations, that is the workings of all that God ordained or predetermined before the foundation of the world to be. Isn't it something? When you look at God and when you think about God, and you go back and you see what God has truly done, God knows everything. God has assembled every detail of everything together as it pleased him. And we know that known unto God are all the works from the foundation of the world. Therefore, everything that God has known, everything that God has elected to do, he put it all together before the foundation of the world was ever created. So this is those things working, that is the outward execution of the inward spiritual gifts given by God through the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. The Father is the authoritative controller of the usage of these spiritual gifts. They're actually his. God the Father, before the foundation of the world, not only chose you to be his child, not only provided for you a way to be saved in Jesus Christ, not only gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit to bring you to Christ, but God the Father also chose your life for you. when Paul said over in Romans 9 that he's the potter and we're the clay, he don't mean he made one of us unto election and one of us unto a non-elect. He means that when God made you unto election, he elected your entire life. He chose me to be a minister and a pastor of this church. My life has been set and planned by God and executed by God. Jesus and the Holy Spirit played a large part in it. But don't ever discount God the Father. And we find the biggest discount is the Spirit, isn't it? People fail to recognize the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit's the one in us. Holy Spirit in you, the Scripture says. The Holy Spirit is one in you that's bringing you to all these things. You became a member here because the Holy Spirit delivered you to this church. Because the Father chose you to be here. Amen. Isn't that outstanding? That's outstanding. So, we're going to go to Acts 17. So, we see that even though the Holy Spirit and even though the Son had their major roles, God the Father is one that executes it. He's the one that brings it to existence. God the Father, before the foundation of the world, chose us to be his children, and then God the Father provided the way. God the Father actually chose Jesus to be our sacrifice and ordained him that he should come to this world and die for our sins. And I know this is kind of a little bit different what we're looking at, but I want to use this because it's wonderful. In verse 28 of Acts 17, it says, now let's go back up to verse 27. It says, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Verse 28, for in him we live, we move, we have our being, as certain also of your own points have said, for we also are his offspring. So we live. We move. We have our being in the Lord. I don't know how people are so quick these days. Well, apparently they're not saved or they have absolutely no education in the Bible. How they belittle God so much in salvation. How they belittle God so much in our everyday life. We're going to find out shortly when we get down to verse 12, which I believe is talking about the church, that God set every member in the church as it pleased him. Mm-hmm. As it pleased him. God never told a preacher to save sinners. That's not our job. God never told a preacher or a pastor to go into all the world and draw them in. Any way possible, just get them in. God never gave us these authorities. We have several authorities from God. You remember what they are? The first one is what? To preach the gospel. That's our authority as a church and my authority as a pastor, is to preach the gospel. What's the second authority we have? To baptize them that God saves. Not to save them, but to baptize those that God saved, as many as believe. And then what are we supposed to do after that? Our third one is to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And then the teaching gets into the entire Word of God. That's our job. My job is not to build this church up. If I build it up, it's worthless. I will destroy this church. You say, well, it may be destroyed already. Look at it. No, it's not. This church, and I'm talking about you all and me, are precious unto the Lord. I'm convinced we're living the last days. I have no question, no doubt whatsoever. And I think this new virus we have is just a thing to show what God's going to do in the tribulation period. It would not surprise me if Jesus Christ came at any time. And I'm not telling you like my forefathers have, or like they did back in the New Testament times before 100 AD. I'm telling you the facts. Look at the signs of the times, and it Brother Hammond used to always tell me, the signs have been fulfilled. Apparently not, Jesus hadn't come. But look where we're at today.
Amen.
Our forefathers would have seen the times today. They would have said, oh my, we lived in good times. They did. They were rotten times at the time, but today they're good times. So we, in him, we live, we move, and we have our being. That's what we have. In the churches, we are outwardly producing what the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, has graciously given to us. The spiritual gifts just keep flowing. We are controlled as God the Father has ordained, predetermined before the foundation of the world. God the Father ordered everything we're going through today. We're not shocking God. God's not looking up, waking up out of a deep sleep, saying, oh, my church has gone to who knows. The Lord's churches are exactly where the Father wants them. So we see the workings, and we're going to get into these in just a second. The workings of Jesus and doing the work and doing the process needed to save us. Jesus did all the work on earth to be the sacrificial lamb. He came to this world through Mary, whom the Holy Spirit put a seed in. He grew up in the world in the likeness of sinful flesh, not in sinful flesh, but in the likeness there to it. He was arrested, beaten, tried, beaten, and beaten some more. And then he carried his cross as far as he could and got some help and carried it up to the Mount Calvary. And Jesus Christ, as the Son of Man, God didn't die on that cross. I get tired of people saying God died on, God did not die on the cross. The Son of Man died on that cross. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world was human, not deity. Deity cannot die. When Jesus went, they put him in the tomb. He went to Abraham's bosom. After 3 days and three nights, he rose from the dead, but not of his own. The Holy Spirit rose him. Read the scriptures. You'll find out the Holy Spirit brought him back up. Jesus did the entire work as far as shedding his blood and everything for our salvation. That's not belittling him, that's glorifying him for the work he done. He did the work. But the Holy Spirit is the one that brought salvation to us. None cometh unto the Father, lest the Father draws them. How does he draw us? By the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:14. Plainly declares that we're led of the Spirit. And when we are, we become the children of God without question. But the Father's one that had planned all this out. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that genius? Well, our Father is genius. He knows everything. There's nothing he does not know. And we know that God is eternal and does not change. So this ignorant stuff that God the Father looked out into the future and saw who would believe and then elected them is just totally stupidity. God elected us because he loved us. Why? Because he chose to. That's the only answer I can give you. When people look at this passage of Scripture, verse 4, 5, 6, they lump them together. But see, I'm the type of guy, when I'm studying something, I like to dig for diamonds in the Scriptures. Because it's a diamond mine. And all you got to do is find them, because it is loaded with diamonds. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, what's it say? It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities of gifts, that is, giving people different gifts. But the same Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, gives them. Every deliverance of any gift from God is through the Holy Spirit. Always has been. The Holy Spirit did not come into existence in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit was in Moses. The Holy Spirit was in all the people through time. Every writer of the Bible penned it at the hand of the Holy Spirit. They wrote exactly what the Holy Spirit inspired them to write and exactly what he told them to write. We see the Holy Spirit all through time. And then we see God the Father in the Old Testament, don't we? And then in the New Testament, we see Jesus. Let's go to verse 5. So there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, differences of administration, but the same Lord. Every work in the Lord's churches and the ministries are by the authority and power of Jesus Christ and accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, Jesus doing the work. Jesus came to this world. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus suffered all the pain and misery of the cross. Jesus shed his blood. But what did Jesus do while he's here on earth? He started a church. I know a lot of people don't believe that. That's their problem. We're going to get to that later, and we're going to prove, without question, Jesus started a church here on this earth. The foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. The same that Abraham is the tree and root in Romans 11. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. He started it on himself. The difference between Peter and Jesus, or Peter and the rock, is Peter's only a small pebble, and the rock is a very large foundation boulder. Church could not have been started on Peter because Peter was too small. Peter was only a man. Jesus was a man, but he's also God. He's also deity. Just like building a foundation here on this earth. I can't do it. I don't have the means. I'm too small. But you take someone like George Soros, or you take someone like, and I hate to mention evil in the house of God, but you take someone like Bill Gates, someone that has billions stacked on top of billions, stacked upon hundreds of billions of dollars, and you find someone that has the foundation to do everything, don't you? That's the difference between Peter and Jesus, is Peter was a small rock, Jesus is a very large boulder. Excuse me for mentioning evil in the house of the Lord. I'm just trying to give you an example. But it was Jesus that started the church, and Jesus is the head of the church. He controls the church. It's his. He controls the workings of it. He controls the power to it. But the Holy Spirit is still the one doing the work inside, isn't he? But the administration, in verse 5, it says, but the administration, the difference of administrations, but the same Lord. Lord is Jesus here. So the selection of the pastor, the membership, Jesus puts them in as God the Father hath ordained them. But Jesus is the one that's working the assembling of it all. He's the one that's controlling the churches. He's the one that's promised that the church would never fail. This church might, but this church is not the church, it is a church. It's not the body of Christ, it is a body of Christ. There are many million of them out there. Then we come to the verse 6 we have. So we see verse 4, the Holy Spirit given the diversities of gifts. Verse 5, Jesus Christ having the difference of administrations in the Lord's church. It's his church. And he can do it as he pleases. We will survive as long as Jesus Christ elects for us to survive. But after all that's done, then it still must be executed, right? It's still, the plan's there. The setting together is there. The administration of it is there. The everyday workings of it's there. Now we need the execution of it. And that's in verse 6, where it says diversity of operations. But the same God. God the Father is over the outward execution of what the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ has accomplished. The Father has elected and ordained all things to be and sees it through. That's the reason it says at the end of verse 6, the same God which worketh all and in all. Because God the Father is over it all. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ played his part, the Holy Spirit plays his part, the Father comes back at the end and executes everything. Isn't that wonderful? What we do by the power of God. That's beautiful. Now let's get down to the last part of verse 6, where it says, it is the same God which worketh all and in all. Go to Galatians 5, if you will. That is the same triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. When you're saved, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit works in you. The Father chooses you, the Son died for you, and the Holy Spirit brought you to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and called you to believe. And then the Father executed at the end. That's the same way he works with the church. Everything in the church was ordained, predestinated by the Father. But God, as a whole, the Trinity, worked together in your salvation, and God, the Trinity, works together in every church. The only thing required of us is to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, to recognize the workings of God in the church and in salvation and in our lives. And the more we understand the step-by-step process, the more we appreciate God for what he's done. And the more we understand, we have nothing to do with any of it. We're the receptacles of God's good grace, love, mercy, kindness. I'm amazed that, one, God ever called me to preach. I'm double amazed that God ever used me in a ministry. And I'm triple praised that God elected me to pastor one of the Lord's churches. And then I'm just totally dumbfounded. After 16 years, it will be a few days, and 16 years, I'm still here. That's the works of God. I don't want to leave, and y'all don't want to run me off. Why? Because that's the way that God wants it done. When a preacher leads a church, God leads him away. And I'm thankful to God he hasn't led me away. So we go to Galatians 5, verse 16. Paul writes to the church at Galatia in verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Our job. And this is where a lot of people miss the point. Our job is to walk in the Spirit. What's he mean, walk in the Spirit? That is the Holy Spirit to us. every word in it is there for our education. Brings me back to a story. I think Brother Hammond used to tell a story. He used to tell his stories over and over. I guess he thought they were fascinating, but I'm still telling them they were. He used to tell a story of a young man that was in college, Christian. And this Christian had an atheist teacher. And the atheist teacher was telling the student, said, "You know what? I read that Bible. It don't mean anything to me." Student said, "Well, why did you read the Bible?" He said, "Well, I'm trying to figure out what you're saying." He said, that's my mail. That's the mail of a Christian. It don't belong to you. You're not supposed to read it. You can't understand it." And he's right. That's the problem we have in the world, is a lot of people think they're Christians when they're not. They're reading and studying the Bible they can't comprehend, because we can't comprehend the scriptures if God does not give it to us. It's a blessing. And while the gifts may be diverse, isn't it beautiful and glorious to understand one word of the Bible? When Jesus was talking to, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, I didn't mean to get off on this, but I'm going there anyway. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, listen to the conversation in John 3. Listen closely. Jesus tells Nicodemus that if you're going to see or enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Now, if you look the words up, you'll find out born again means from above. What's that mean? That means born of God, right? Nicodemus comprehended somewhat of what Jesus was saying, even though it sounds like he was real stupid, and he was dumb to what Jesus was telling him. And he asked, "How can I go into my mother's womb and be born a second time?" He understood being born again, didn't he? But when you look at the words born again, it means born from above. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. Then Jesus went on to tell Nicodemus, "Whosoever believeth the Lord Jesus Christ shall have eternal life." And people can't comprehend that. The lost person will never comprehend it. Do you know why? God told us why. Because Jesus to the Jews was a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, he's foolishness. That's the reason no Christians calls Jesus accursed by the Holy Spirit. You call him Lord. When Saul of Tarsus was saved over in Acts 9, he said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And believe me, Saul of Tarsus would never have called Jesus Lord had he not been saved. And he would never have asked his Lord what to do without being saved. We are to walk in the flesh. To walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. And what's the Lord say there? If we're walking in the spirit, I'm not saying that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in us. I'm saying this is him too. If we walk in the spirit, in the word of God, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ever. The lust of the flesh and the fulfillment of it is when we're outside of the box of the Holy Spirit. Second Corinthians 3, if you will. I'm almost done with this point. And as soon as I do get done, we will stop and have our next point. I think this was study 10 or 11. I think this is 11. And we'll have 12 on Wednesday night. We're going to have a bunch of these by the time we get down, because when we get to the church, we're going to really slow down. Because that's our purpose, isn't it? That's our purpose to get to, is verse 12, starting with the church. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4, the Lord says these words, "And such trust have we through Christ to Godward." Such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. What have we done, folks? When you look at your life and you compare that to the Word of God that we're studying, you find out you've never done anything. You have no accomplishments except what the Holy Spirit has diversely given to you. When you look at preachers, you go to a Bible conference, or some of you can't go to one in Oakdale, but when you go to a Bible conference, or we have ours in September, you listen to all the preachers, and you notice they're all different. They ain't none too, just like Brother Hammond and I weren't like. I'm not like Mick. Mick wasn't like me. I'm not like Dole Thomas. Dole Thomas isn't like me. We're different. We're all different. And we're all the way the Holy Spirit's made us. He's made me pastor here. He made Brother Wilson pastor in Oakdale. Brother O'Neill, the pastor in Tulsa. Their church's needs are given to them from him. Your needs are given to you from me. And y'all drew the short end of the stick. No, I'm just kidding you. So we're not to think, not that we are sufficient to ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Why not? But our sufficiency is of God. Isn't that beautiful? You know what? It was a happy day in my life when I learned election predestination, 5 points of sovereign grace, all of it. It wasn't just that I understood for the first time the truth of the sovereignty of God. But what a relief it is to a preacher to know that the blood of sinners is not on our hands. It is of sort if we don't do what we're supposed to do, and that's preach the gospel. That's our job. We're not to, Paul said, "I was sent to the church at Corinth with the simplicity of preaching the gospel, nothing else." I didn't even go to baptize. I went there with simplicity to preach the gospel. That was my job in being there, Paul said. It wasn't to save one sinner. We can't move people, folks. Preachers sometimes they'll say, "I've been trying and trying, old brother or sister so-and-so, they just won't move." Keep trying until you have a heart attack, they're still not going to move. They're not going to move until the Holy Spirit kicks them up out of their seat and they stand up and say, "God, just save me." And it's an amazing sight when somebody does that. Yeah, they're sitting there in their pew just looking away, not listening. All of a sudden, God saves them. The Holy Spirit kicks them out of their pew right out in the middle of the aisle. It's a beautiful thing, the way God works. So we ought not think anything of ourselves. You know, I criticize myself a lot because I try to be humbled. And I really don't understand why God ever used me in the ministry to start with. But I am exactly what God wants me to be. I am as good and I will never be any better. I am as bad, I'll never be any worse than what God wants me to be as your pastor. And your next pastor will be the same way. So our sufficiency is God, who also made us able ministers of the New Testament church. Our New Testament. Not of the letter, listen, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. You don't just read that Bible. You don't just preach that Bible. You do everything by the power of the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is the one that directs everything. The one that teaches us. The one that gives us everything. While the Father chose us, while the Spirit, Jesus died for us, the Spirit brought us to Christ, and the Father saw it through. It is the Trinity that's our all and in all. And the beautiful part of that for us is understanding. Understanding the works of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and what Jesus has done for us. Let's all stand.